We come together in our final week exploring the Psalms. We've been looking at a different psalm every week, Psalms of Lament. We looked at the Traveler's Psalm and several others over the past few weeks. And one of the things that we've been talking about is how so often we cannot come up with the words ourselves to express how we are feeling. And so the words of the psalmist often give us a glimpse into our own realities. When we hear things like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," it invites us to name God in new ways that are personal for us. Or when we hear the psalmist cry out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Sometimes these are things we're crying out ourselves to. How long, O Lord, until I don't have to wear a face mask anymore, right? We ask ourselves these questions. And so each of the psalms gives us these words. But songs or lyrics are not isolated to scripture, right? Often when we turn on the radio or we pick up a book of poetry, those words speak too. Because I believe that not only does God speak through scripture, God speaks through all of us as well. God shows up over and over and over again. And so one of the things that we've been doing is each week I've been sharing lyrics with you from my favorite band, right? Need to Breathe. And as I was preparing this week, one of the songs that I often sing or play, because I don't have the words myself and I'm a terrible singer, if you know me, one of the songs that I often turn on is called Abel, especially when I just feel like I can't do something. And so the song goes a little something like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it because that's better for all of us today. They say, "There's a host of hurts we come across, none of which are alike, from the air inside the birthing room to the darkness where we die. Though I feel I'm just as strong as any man I might know, I'm not able, I'm not able, I'm not able on my own. I carry around secrets that only heaven knows. I crawl into darkened rooms where only victims go. Though I feel strong enough to carry all this load, I'm not able on my own." We need God. Amen. Praise is this recognition of God's faithfulness, that God will carry us through because alone we can't do it. We need God. God is our life source, the giver of all that is good. In this series, we've looked at this theme that's run throughout the Psalms, that always, 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 no matter what, God is holding us. God is carrying us through this journey of life, whether it's in dark and deep valleys or whether it's on high and holy mountaintops. God is there and God is carrying us. And so for our final week, we're going to look at a psalm of praise, one where the psalmist just gives thanks to God and give thanks abundantly. In the book of Psalms, there's certain songs that are called Songs of Zion. And in the Psalter, this is a way of celebrating the city of Jerusalem and the temple, that it is the epicenter, right? Because Jerusalem was kind of a big deal then, yeah. But these celebrate that God is present in the city of Zion, even when there's instability, even when there's threats. Now, we need to think about that for a second. If we say we know that God is present and God is holding us strong even when there's instability and threats, what would our world look like? Do you feel any instability right now? No, none at all, right? The world feels unstable. It feels like we don't know what's going to happen next. Every time we turn on the news or hear the radio, something new is happening, and it's hard to keep up. We're constantly just reacting. Instead, God calls us to hold strong in who He is. And so this week we read Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles with me, I would encourage you to open those up, or if you have them at home, grab one. Or there's a link that's going to go up in your comments. You can follow along online. I'm going to be reading Psalm 46, and I'm reading in the New Revised Standard Version. The psalmist says this: God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble, its tumult, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, if it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he builds the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations, I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's this theme that runs throughout this psalm that's said in the very, very beginning of the text. Right when the psalmist starts, he says, God is our refuge and our strength. And so this is the theme that runs throughout this whole narrative that the psalmist offers to us. And so it's kind of split into three parts. And if you notice, at the end of each section, there's this word in the Hebrew, Selah, right? Did you hear that? Was it in your Bibles when you read it? So some translations remove it altogether, but in the NRSV, it is present. And so if you look at each of those three sections, we kind of get a little bit more information about what the psalmist is talking about when he says, God is our refuge. And so in the first part, he talks about creation. There's all sorts of things in creation that could cause us harm, right? Hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and fires, things that we have seen recently run rampant in our land, from wildfires on one coast to hurricanes on another, devastation abounds, or so it seems. And so the psalmist says, therefore, even though the earth changes, even though the earth shakes, even though the mountains move, I will not fear because God is my refuge. Because God is there. And then we get this second section that talks about nations in uproar. War is a reality in our time, right? We are fighting one another, and war has changed over time, from physical attacks to cyber attacks, but either way, it's still just as harmful to the societies around us. And the psalmist says, even though the nations are in uproar, the kingdom totters, the Lord of hosts is among us. Just because nations totter, the kingdom of God does not. The kingdom of God remains stable and present. And so finally, in this third piece, we get this promise that eventually God will cease to end all wars. He will break the bow, he will shatter the spear. And then there's this calling peace. where the Lord speaks in the midst of the Psalms and says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. I am the Lord over all things in all creation, nations and people, as well as the earth." This is the promise that we get in this psalm. As I was preparing for this week, I found a blog post, I guess, written by a Lutheran professor. I try to quote Wesleyans as often as possible, but man, this spoke to my heart this week as I was reading. This guy, his name is Dirk Lang. He's a professor of worship at Luther Seminary, and he wrote this blog post about Psalm 46. And he says this, just over, well, when he wrote it, he said 53, but now it's 60. Just over 60 years ago, there was a huge wall that was built, a mighty fortress, a wall around East Berlin, a wall to keep out and a wall to keep in. And it isolated people. And it molded them into a single, straight, dreary, one-dimensional way of thinking. For the people, it represented an oppressive system without cracks, without breaks, without life. He goes on to say, almost 500 years ago, a monk named Martin Luther, we've heard of him, right? Yeah. He felt the pressures of another oppressive system, one in which a person was never sure of God or God's mercy, one in which a person could even pay to climb the stairway of heaven quicker and easier. In many aspects, the church had become a fortress, dictating who was in and who was out. It says, every system, every culture, every community risks succumbing to this temptation, to shutting off and to isolating ourselves. As the church, I wonder if we do this too, if we allow this building to shut us off from out there, dictating who can come in and who has to stay out with whatever policy we come up with. And so Professor Lang asked this question. He says, who or what can defeat or break the walls, the towers, the fortresses that we construct? Who can overcome this oppression? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Selah. The fortress that we have, that we are called to be a part of, is God and God's kingdom. Psalm 46 is this beautiful song where we hear God is our refuge. And intermittently, you hear this word, Selah, come up three different times, right? In some psalms, it's said once, and some it's not said at all, and sometimes I think it's said almost six times. But if you Google this word, it just says, in the Bible, in parentheses, occurring frequently at the end of a verse in Psalms, probably as a musical direction. Google's not often helpful when looking up Hebrew and Greek words, where I, like, it usually gets it wrong. So I was like, what does the lexicon say? So I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I put in the word Selah to see what it says in the lexicon. And whoever wrote this is hilarious. They said, so much has been discussed and tortured by the conjectures and blunderers of interpreters about this word. But they said, it's probably a musical note often found in Psalms, but it has been used to mark a short pause in singing the words of a psalm so that the singer would be silent while the instrumental music continued. It offers a place of silence, a place to pause, a place to listen. Martin Luther, he tried to figure out what this meant. And he they say he kind of tortured himself about it. And it's that finally he writes this. He said, "The word Selah is introduced confusingly and altogether without discernible order. To show that the motion of the Spirit is secret. The motion of the Spirit is unknown to us. And it is almost impossible to be foreseen. Whenever it comes, it requires us to omit the words of the Psalms, or as we might say, it interrupts the words of the Psalms. It gives us a pause and quiet frame. Selah forces us to stop. It almost sounds abrupt. It makes us stop just our reading and start our listening. It silences us so that we might be transformed." In the psalm, we hear these words, "Be still," right? "Be still and know." Often, when we think about praise, we think about lifting our hands and singing loudly and clapping and loud bands, right? And bright and shiny lights. But often, I think our praise comes in silence. Our praise comes when we bear witness to the great things that God has done. Where have we seen God be stable in the midst of chaos? Where have we seen the hand of God create peace in the midst of war? How have we seen God reign? Our praise begs us to answer this question. To look, to see, to pause, to listen, to stop our busyness. How many of you are busy? Anyone? Have a million things to do? Your calendars are full. Driving everywhere all of the time, taking care of this, that, and the other. But if we really want to praise God, it's not just about coming here on Sunday morning and singing a few hymns and listening to some girl talk at you for 20 minutes. It's about bearing witness to the great things that God has done. Be still. Be still and know that God is here. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we come together this morning giving you praise. Knowing that praise does not have to be the right words or the right song. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to bear witness to your greatness. God, we just seek to lift you up as our fortress. To not put our trust in the things of the world, but to put our trust in you. To reach out to all of those in the world who are hurting and struggling, O God, and to show them your mighty grace. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.